We're remembering the anniversary of Act 10 here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here. This is a look back over the decades since former Governor Scott Walker's controversial landmark law gutted collective bargaining for most state and municipal employees, including K-12 teachers. How has Act 10 affected your life? What is its legacy? How has Act 10 helped or hurt your school district? Are you seeing benefits from teachers receiving merit pay? 800-642-1234. Justin Delfaz is president of the Green Bay Education Association, which represents paraprofessionals and teachers in Green Bay Public Schools. Justin, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hello, Kate. Thank you for having me.
We also have Angelina Cruz, who holds the same position at Racine Educators United, representing Racine Public School teachers. Angelina, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you.
Well, Angelina, let's start with you. A decade later, what are the lasting effects of Act 10 on Racine schools?
I don't think Racine is unique in terms of our situation. I think schools across the state have been grappling with a massive exodus of teachers from the profession, early retirements, instability in terms of, being able to deliver instruction in the context of this free market approach to teaching students and to compensating professional educators. So people are doing what they need to do to, support their own families. And it's created this instability of teachers moving from district to district or altogether leave the profession. And so we know that important to children's growth and learning is stability, is a stable environment. And so I would say that this has definitely created challenges within not just Racine, but across, whether we're talking about our urban districts like Racine and Green Bay or our rural districts as well. We have a lot more in common that we're struggling with than I think we talk about very often.
Justin, what do you hear there in Angelina? What other changes in Green Bay schools have you noticed that you can connect to Act 10?
Yeah, I would echo some of the same comments that Angelina made. After Act 10, we saw a huge influx of retirements, which, we lost some really good veteran teachers that were leaders in their buildings, that were leaders in our district. And it's really been hard to recover from that because of this free agent market that's been created. There's not as much of an incentive for teachers to stay in a particular district. So there's been a lot of movement, which has led to a lack of stability. We're all well aware of the teacher shortage. There's not as many people going into education. So I know as a union, we have really tried to shift our focus to trying to solve some of these problems. Recently, this past Saturday, actually, and we had a follow-up Tuesday, and we have a follow-up tonight, we did a trauma-informed care professional development for our teachers because they're obviously going through a lot of trauma right now with COVID, and we're just trying to make them feel supported so they stay in the profession. We've started working with NEA for early career learning labs to support our new teachers so they stay in the profession. We are collaborating with our district with something called Centers, which is collaboration to ensure new teachers' retention and success. So really trying to encourage people to go into education, and then once they're in education, to stay. I would say the biggest issue that we're facing is that teacher shortage.
We're going to get to more on the shortage and more on teachers returning to the classroom amid COVID in just a moment. I want to reintroduce you both. Justin Delfaz is from Green Bay. Angelina Cruz from Racine. We're looking at the 10-year anniversary of Act 10 with these two leaders of teachers' unions. with your thoughts as well on Act 10, 800-642-1234. Angelina, Act 10 supporters had hoped the law would allow school leaders to become more nimble in responding to their budget crunches or other challenges when things would come up in the district without the need to bargain. What is your response to that?
To be frank, I think that was maybe a talking point that they necessarily did not believe themselves. So I think it's important to note that unions are more important now today than they ever have been. Today's economy is rigged against working class people in favor of the wealthy and powerful. And I think Act 10 is the perfect example of politicians who do the bidding of wealthy and powerful and have written the economic rules to favor their own interests rather than working class people. So this was very much an intentional attack upon working class people in the state of Wisconsin, specifically public servants, specifically women. And I would argue also the drastic cuts to public education is an attack on children. And so I don't believe that talking point. I don't believe there's any sincerity behind wanting to improve what is happening in our public schools.
Let's bring in Jesse now, joining us from the northeast part of the state. Jesse, hi. What would you like to say about Act 10?
Good morning. Well, I think Angela just pretty much wrapped up all of my thoughts, actually. But, you know, I wish I could hold my call for Governor Walker, but I don't have time. I think it was clearly an example of his view on education, or that lack of. I think the idea that we wanted to promote this as merit-based, but then didn't give the schools budgets, and in fact cut their budgets to pay that merit, is just a ridiculous concept. And I think Angela's absolutely right. I think this was completely done to benefit the wealthy and say, well, you know what, they'll figure it out, because the truth is teachers are passionate and they care and they love what they do. And so they are. They're figuring it out, but at what cost? And the cost is our children and our children's education and the next generation. So the idea that we don't value teachers enough to pay them for the important role they have in our children's life is a huge statement, in my opinion.
Jesse, thanks. Justin, how did Act 10 affect the income of teachers immediately after the law and in the years since?
Yeah, we have, you know, some veteran teachers that were around during, you know, Act 10 that are, you know, basically at the point now, finally 10 years later, where they were at when Act 10 took place. You know, we look at the CPI max that were that's all we're allowed to bargain up to. And if you look at it for next year, it's barely over 1%. So teachers, when we talk about raises, they're not getting raises. At best, they are getting a cost of living increase to match the consumer price index. And that's at best. So, you know, we also see the districts moving more of the salary structure down to entice, because there's a shortage, entice young teachers into the profession. But then there is not a lot of room for growth once you get into the profession. So that's why we see a lot of people going into education as a starting career now. And they might teach for 5-6 years. And then they realize that they're, you know, never going to really increase a great deal in salary. So they leave for another profession. So it's really led more to that teacher shortage. And, you know, I would even argue that, you know, we mentioned before about how Act 10, you know, has allowed districts to be more nimble. You know, I've even had conversations with district administrators that missed the days that we had a contract that was worked on for years because it covered almost every single scenario. Things were black and white. You were able to look at this contract. People were treated fairly because it was right there, black and white in the contract. And now we have so many gray areas, you know, with more of a vague handbook that has led to issues as well. But,
and we're talking with Justin Delfaz, who holds the president position at the Green Bay Education Association, representing paraprofessionals and teachers in Green Bay public schools. Angelina Cruz with us, president of Racine Educators United, the labor group representing teachers in Racine. Were you a teacher who left your profession due to Act 10? Where are you now? What questions do you have for the presidents of teachers unions? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. You're with us for this Act 10 anniversary look back on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. A decade ago, the sound of tens of thousands of protesters on the steps of our state capitol.
Tell me what democracy looks like! Tell me what democracy looks like!
Governor Walker's landmark law sharply reduced collective bargaining rights for public employees. It required teachers to pay more toward their retirement plans and their health care coverage. It cut the pay of most public sector workers. Were you there at the Capitol in 2011? What do you remember? 800-642-1234. Angelina Cruz and Justin Delfaz are labor group presidents representing public schools in Racine and Green Bay, respectively. And they're with us for 10 more minutes. Let's bring in Marcus now in Madison with a question. Hi, Marcus. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. As is well known, your power as a worker does not lie in your ability to vote. It's in your ability to stop production when necessary. Why are the Wisconsin teachers unable to use the strategy that was used successfully in Chicago, Arizona, Virginia, all over the country during this period? Why was there no strike? We engaged in symbolic protest, marched around, sang songs, basically had the same effect as if you had been tailgating. It was symbolic, empty protest, accomplished nothing.
Marcus, I'm going to pause here. Angelina, why weren't there strikes?
In 2011, I'll do my best I can with that. I was not even a local leader in my own union, so I can't speak to what was happening at the statewide leadership level. Mm-hmm. I was just I was 8 years into my career. I was protesting at the Capitol. I was very upset. And to be frank, I agree with our friend on the phone's assessment. We should have, I could speak personally. I was ready to take action that way. But I mean, we all know that means something needs to be done collectively. And I don't know where it fell apart in 2011, but I agree.
Yeah, Justin, how would you respond there to Marcus?
Yeah, I would say I'm kind of in the same boat as Angelina. I was an active member, but was not in a leadership position. And I would say, I don't want to speak for Angelina, but I would guess that Act 10 is part of what inspired us to, you know, get more involved and get into our leadership positions. I would say a big part of the reason, you know, I wasn't involved in the decision either, but I would say a big part of the reason is, well, first of all, strikes are illegal, you know, in Wisconsin for teachers. And I would also say that, you know, we had a vast amount of our teachers that don't want to go on strike because they want to be there in the classroom for their students. So it was kind of a tough situation for anyone, because the last thing teachers want is to hurt their students. But at the same time, you know, we wanted to protect our rights to collectively bargain. So it was a tough situation, I'm sure, for the leaders at that time.
I wonder, Angelina, do you see generational shifts, generational differences in older and younger teachers in how they feel about their work, how they feel about Act 10?
To to be frank, I think newer teachers, we have, in my local at least, we have not, I'd say for the past maybe 5 years, really had to dwell too much on talking about Act 10 and what unionism was prior to that, because these younger teachers have no idea what Act 10 even is. So while it was very relevant to me, at, you know, 5 years after it happened, we had, you know, we have batches of new teachers coming into the profession that have no idea what it was like before Act 10, don't even know that Act 10 is a thing. And so it is encouraging. I would like to point out that our unions are very much still here. We are very much still alive. And for newer teachers to recognize the value of unionism post Act 10, and we know what that means, I find it's very heartening and important, I think, to elevate that.
Justin, do you think Act 10 has affected your union's ability in any way in terms of perhaps giving it more fuel, giving it more mission, if you will?
So I would say that things have definitely changed. We've moved from more of a, you know, an industrial model of unionism, you know, dealing with contracts, to more of a professional and social justice model. And that's really what our early career educators want. I mentioned before, you know, some of the professional development offerings that we do. We've really become focused on social justice for our students. So, you know, we're really focused on different things. And one of the things I would say is that I feel that the members that we have are more invested in the association. It's not, you know, a couple people sitting behind closed doors negotiating a contract anymore. It's that collective voice, and you need that collective voice now without the ability to collectively bargain, to advocate for your members and to keep people in the profession.
Let's go to Todd now in Montello. Hi, Todd. Go ahead.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. My wife was a teacher in the Montello School District for 43 years. At the time that this Act 10 thing was going on, the reason they did not strike was because most of the teachers thought it would do more harm to the kids' education than it would do to help them, because they knew the political situation at the time. The other thing I would make a comment, at the beginning of your show, you said Scott Walker was the architect of this, and he had nothing to do with architect. The ones that brought this about was the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. They were the ones with the brains behind the whole thing, because they knew that sooner or later, with the money being short as it was, their members would start being taxed at a rate that was more realistic than it is even currently.
Todd,
thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, Todd, thank you. Let's bring in Dave now in Eau Claire with a story. Dave, go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, what is your story?
Well, I got several family members that are teachers, and I feel really bad what happened to the teachers. I mean, Scott Walker, but how it came to the municipalities, everybody says, well, it ain't going to come to city workers or state workers, and it did. They stripped us of everything that we ever had. We were down to Madison protesting quite a bit, peaceful. But when we went to bargain with the city, they said, no, Act 10, we took away all your rights, overtime.
And Dave, I have to jump. Yeah, I need to jump in here because we have only a few seconds left. Justin, looking at COVID, if Act 10 had never happened, how might Wisconsin schools have navigated the pandemic differently?
As far as we're concerned in Green Bay, I honestly don't think it would have made much of a difference. We're fortunate to have a good working relationship with our district administration, and we've been able to advocate to stay virtual for the safety of our students and our members and our community. So I don't think it would have changed a whole lot in our particular situation.
And Angelina, very quickly for you, how do teachers feel about being in the classroom?
So we are still teaching and learning remotely. We have a return date of March 1st, but I just would like to clear, I feel like there's this misconception that teachers aren't teaching and kids aren't learning. Teachers have been working around the clock to meet the needs of kids and their families as best they can in this virtual environment. And they're very fearful to return to the classroom right now without proper mitigation strategies in place and vaccinations.
Thank you both for joining us, Angelina Cruz, Justin Delfaz, presidents of teachers unions in Racine and Green Bay. Coming up, we have Governor Scott Walker. That's after a news update on the Ideas Network.